My name's Ian Spence. I'm a teacher of mindfulness and qualified hypnotherapist. So I did that for several years when it was going well. And then suddenly everybody started doing weekend courses and the bottom fell out of the market. So yeah, now I have my own taxi business.
Yeah, whereabouts?
In Wiltshire.
Okay, so could you just tell us about this protest the other week in Oxford? What I mean, you and tell us about your daughter.
Right. Jasmine. Jasmine without an E on the end. Everybody puts an E on the end. It really annoys
Okay,
her.
can you just say something like, my daughter is Jasmine and she was at the pro, just to explain for people that, don't know anything about it, okay?
Yeah, well, Jasmine has been speaking out for 2 years. The speech at Oxford was her last one, but she has been speaking out at protests for the last 2 years.
All right, well, just tell us about her then.
I did explain earlier that we got locked down in Venice. My wife and I was locked down in Venice, and when we came back, Jasmine was quite scared about this virus, and I told her not to worry about it. As far as I could tell, it was the government up to their tricks, and we would look into it. So we did that, and we've been doing the research ever since.
So, what were you out on a family holiday or something?
Yeah, it was our anniversary at the beginning of March, and we just went out there to really celebrate our anniversary. A long weekend it was. It was meant to be a long weekend. Ended up being 10 days. And so we started to do research. Once we started to listen to Dr. Mike Yeadon, Dr. Bark T, Robert Malone, we realized that, there was something not right about it all. There was no evidence anywhere. Nobody was getting sick. Nobody was sneezing or coughing or dying in the street. So, and then Jasmine, being the kind of kid she loves children. And when our friend was killed by it, Boris Johnson then came out saying, "We're coming for the children." And that was it. That was it for Jasmine. She had enough. She was getting really scared by that.
Okay, well, for people that haven't heard, she did a speech about 15 minutes in Oxford at
Enough.
one of the protests, and I mean, it's a very forthright speech. It's really calling out the, well, I mean, what many of us are calling these accelerationists, the people who are trying to create crises. But I think one of the most interesting things she did, Ian, was to say, well, actually, it's not about these individual crises, whether it's climate, Ukraine, or whatever. It's actually about the people who are in charge are irresponsible and that they are actually creating these problems. So can you just explain, who wrote the speech? Because obviously she's, many people watching that will think, well, this little 12-year-old can't have written this. She must have got it from her parents probably wrote it for her.
Yeah, I know a lot of people do say that, and that annoys her. She feels like they think she's not intelligent enough to do it. Especially when they say she's reading a script. Well, you try remembering something that takes 20 minutes to say. Even Boris Johnson can't do that, as we saw. If he loses a page in his script, he's all over the place going to Peppa Pig land. So, that's no different from what Jasmine was doing. But she wants to be right. When she speaks, she wants to be right. She wants her facts to be true facts, So what the greedy people is really what we know, you and I know, to be the cabal. And she knows that too, but she thought it was better to say the greedy people because of her age, and it comes across better
Yeah, but I
that
mean,
way.
many people wondering how much of the what she said is Jasmine and how much is the influence of you?
Well, I'd say it's half and half. I mean, we sit there and write the speech together. and she will say, I want to say this or take that out, or so she has a lot of input in
Well, you
it.
know what? The politicians do the same with their speech writers. They will get
I'm
someone to
sure
write a
they
speech
do.
for them, and then they'll tweak it, you know?
I'm sure. I'm sure they do.
Okay, so I mean, when did you first realize that Jasmine was taking up, you know, some of these issues around the world? In fact, you know, some of the things we see on TV and articulating her own version of it, critique of it, really.
Well, Jasmine was in this position where she knew what Klaus Schwab wanted to do in the World Economic Forum, and she'd heard what Robert Malone and Mike Yeade and Dr. Bharti were saying, and she felt like she was in a position where if she doesn't do something, she's got no future. And basically, this is the hill that she's happy to die on, if that is the case.
Wow. Well, I mean, I think there are, you know, it's fair to say there are quite a few youngsters, you know, maybe not that many in total, but quite a lot of youngsters are also looking at the future and they're saying, well, what have our parents done? You know, because we don't seem to have much of a future in terms of employment. You know, the idea of being able to make a living, buy a home, all that sort of thing seems to be much more difficult than it was when we were kids.
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. It's been taken away from the kids now, isn't it? It's been taken away. They're destroying the future, you know. Any chance of the future, they're just destroying it. And what really gets me and Jasmine, what bothers us is how the people can't see what's happening. That's really worrying. That's the thing that worries us the most. I
Well,
mean, to me, in the beginning, it was obvious that it wasn't good. When the country went into lockdown, I thought people would just take no notice of it. And when they all ran in their houses, that really disturbed me. That really did disturb me. I thought now the governments can do whatever they want because we're all in our houses. And I felt really vulnerable. God help us is all I can say. God help us, because if people don't wake up, we're going to be in big trouble.
what was the protest in Oxford actually about? It looks as if there are attempts to zone these towns and cities now to say, well, if you're going to, you know, really to limit people's ability to travel by car from one place to another.
Yeah, I mean, that is a stepping stone, but we weren't really, we're not really into, we was asked to go and speak there, but we're more into the Digi-ID because the 15 minutes is, if you remember going back to when we was going through the COVID in 2020, they had us locked down and they would lock certain areas, like Manchester would be locked down for a month, Wales would be locked down for a month. And I believe that's when they were testing out their strategies. Now, what people have said about, oh, that was a good idea, locking down, let's do climate lockdowns. I don't believe that. I think they already had this all planned and worked out. The way I see it is that they're going to bring in the Digi-ID. Rishi Sunak will do that at the end of this year. And then the CBDCs will be brought in. And then they will.
That's the central bank digital currencies.
Yeah. And then. Tony Blair has openly said that he wants these injections attached to the Digi-ID. Now, if we don't stop it, then they're going to inject us all. They'll force vaccinate us. They will. They will treat the zones as individual areas where they will go in and vaccinate.
Well, I mean, you know, I wonder if,
See, they got control. Once we're all in these 15-minute zones, they'll have total control.
well, they can't stop you walking out or cycling out, can they?
No, but it's not so easy to get away if you're afoot, is it?
I mean, what about Jasmine's school friends? Because, you know, quite a lot of people that come out with things like this, adults or children, will be ridiculed by their school friends.
Sorry, you're breaking up. What was that?
What about at school? Because you know, I wonder if Jasmine is experiencing the same as a lot of people who've been involved in the, you know, the critique of the whole COVID thing, They just get ridiculed, even though actually they may have it right. They're just ridiculed as a conspiracy theorist and pilloried, really, bullied.
Well, she doesn't go through any of that. We keep our opinion away from her school.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
To protect her, really. Some of her friends have seen her speeches, and they think, good on you, you know, but most of them don't know that she speaks out.
I mean, this is a bit of a problem, isn't it, for anybody that speaks out, is that it seems like the whole of society, it's almost like a cell dividing. You're either on one side or the other.
Yeah, and that's the last thing we want. The government has made that really bad, but we need to mend that. That's what we need to do. We need to mend that rift. The people need to know that the government is there. They're going to divide us on any ground they can.
Well, I'm not sure it will be it will be possible to mend it, because it's almost as if the more you try to pull one person to the other side, the more they're on the different side. So anyway, what is going on?
Depopulation. Well, they've told us themselves over the years that they want to get rid of the useless eaters.
Well, so who is them?
Oh. Well, I can't remember who it was, but years ago I saw something from a woman speaking out, and she was apparently one of the Rothschilds, and she said, soon it's going to be time to get rid of the useless eaters. That was around 2014-15. But this depopulation talk has been going on since 2010. So I was aware of it all that time ago. Now, the thing is, if it wasn't the depopulation, why are they covering up all the adverse events?
What, you mean from the jabs?
Yeah.
Well, good question. I mean, maybe just to protect the pharmaceutical, the profits.
So if that's the case, then why are they saying they're going to be doing more of it?
Well, good question. Ian, what do you think we should do?
I think we need to blend it. Well, what do I think we should do? Those people need arresting, really. They do need arresting. But we got a problem because, the military, even ex-soldiers know, some ex-soldiers are awake and they know what's going on. So the generals, what are they doing? Why are they not doing anything? Why is the chief of police not doing anything?
Well, a lot of them are just worried about losing their jobs, aren't they?
Oh, what? They put that before their children's lives?
Well, I know during the pandemic, whatever you want to call it, during that, we had a very interesting question was raised. And that was that not all doctors become doctors because they want to help people. Some of them do it because there's a lot of money in it. But look, here's a big question for you, Ian, if you can answer it. A lot of people listening will think, oh, this guy, he's just another conspiracy theorist nutter. What things should we be looking out for in the next couple of years that would indicate that you are right and Jasmine is right and there really is some sort of conspiracy out there? I mean, effectively, we're talking about, she used this expression, the greedy people, but actually it's more sinister than that, isn't it? An evil, she used the word evil to enslave us. So what things should we look out for which might give us evidence of that?
DigiID, the CBDCs, because we know they're programmable. And once those two things are in place, then they will attach the injections, the mRNA injections, with that. So you won't be able to go to a supermarket unless you get the injections. You know, you won't be able to feed yourself. You won't be able to go to your bank. You won't access your money. You'll have nothing. You'll have no life. And this is why we need to stop it. I mean, it's either that or we have to run away to a country where this isn't going on, you know. I mean,
you're portraying there is basically a system of slavery.
Yeah. Well, it is, isn't it? I mean, DigiID, CBDCs that are programmable, allowing you to buy this, not buy that, and You can do that, you can't do that. And then with the, it's really about depopulation, I think. I don't see any other reason why they would bring out these injections, you know. They are toxic by design.
Where'd be a good place for listeners to go, Ian, to find out more?
You won't find anything out on Google or YouTube or anything like that because they censor it. I've tried putting Jasmine stuff up on there and it's taken down within 30 minutes off YouTube. The only places really are the alternative places like BitChute, Rumble, BrandNewTube. I don't know if BrandNewTube is still going. But, you know, I mean, even that is, they are being closed down. So soon we won't have a voice.
Now, when I put the speech by Jasmine up on BitChute, I used the headline "Better than Greta,"
Oh, yeah.
and there's been a lot of criticism of Greta in that it's is it you know is this a form of child abuse? Her parents egging her on to go into the public eye. Well, people might make the same accusations against you, Ian.
I know. I know. I'm not happy about that. And neither is Jasmine, you know. But you do get these critiques, don't you? So if you look at the comments on Jasmine's videos, 98% are good and in favor, and that the people are happy. So what can you do? You're bound to get critiques.
Do you think it's okay to expose a 12-year-old to the world,
No,
you know, in public?
not really. I wish I didn't have to, but in 2018 I had another heart attack, and I'm really worried that I'm not going to be around to look after her. So she has to learn to stand on her own 2 feet. And she knows that. And she's prepared to do it.
Okay, Ian Spence, father of Jasmine, thanks very much for joining us.
You're very welcome.